Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show Monday through Thursday at 9 a.m. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Good morning. I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Coming up, The Five, with two guys who have a new podcast on masculinity. But first, why more boys should be reading more books written by and starring girls. One of our guests has asked a lot of kids what they like to read about. They like funny books, mystery books, fantasy books. What Shannon Hale says they never say is, I like books about boys. Not even the boys say that. But if you're the parent of a boy, maybe you believe he'll only read books about boys. And we're here to explain why you're wrong. Shannon Hale wrote in the Washington Post, what happens to a culture that encourages girls to read books about boys, but shoos boys away from reading books about girls? So as our guests join us, I want to hear from parents and librarians and boys who grew up to be voracious readers. Where did we get the idea that boys will only read about boys? Do you have a boy who reads adventurously about boys and girls? So calling all parents, librarians, and boys who grew up to be voracious readers, I want to know where you think we got the idea that boys are only going to read about boys. And are you a boy who reads adventurously about boys and girls? Give me some titles, too. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. On Twitter, at CarrieNPR, Shannon Hale is with us. She's the author of many books for kids, including the Princess in Black series for young readers. And she's with us from Salt Lake City, Utah. Shannon, welcome to the show. It's really good to have you here.
Thanks. It's great to be here, Carrie.
Kelly Jensen is with us. She's a former librarian, editor at Book Riot, and a YA author. She edited the book, Here We Are, Feminism for the Real World. And hey, where are you at today, Kelly?
I am about 40 miles outside Chicago.
Okay. Really good to have you on the show. Welcome. So, Shannon, I want to cut to the chase here because you believe that this isn't really about the kids. It's about adults. Why?
Well, that's where it starts. It definitely starts with adults. I began to see this effort to keep boys away. It's not an idle thing. It's an effort to keep boys away from reading books about girls. My first two books that I wrote, people just assumed boys are not going to read it. I bought into it. I thought I had no evidence to the contrary. It must just be a thing that boys don't read books that are written by women. But then my third book came out. It was called Princess Academy, so it has a very gendered title. And it won a major award, and because of that, teachers began to teach it in their classes. And I started hearing back from these teachers who told me, when I told the kids we're going to read a book called Princess Academy, the girls went, yay, and the boys went, boo. And then once we read it, the boys liked it as much or even more than the girls did. Uh-huh. So for the first time, I had evidence that it wasn't true, so I started paying attention to the ways that adults shame them away, the ways that they talk about books that tell boys these are not for you, and it was massive.
Yeah. So Kelly, this is what I want to get at, because I know we're going to hear from parents and guy readers who say, no, I was reading books by and about girls for a long time. I don't know that this is specifically intentional, that parents, you know, are raising kids and saying, you will never read a book about a girl. But the language and the trips to the bookstore and the library to get books, I mean, that all sends a message. Where do you come in on this?
Well, I worked as a librarian, and I saw this happen all the time. Parents would come in and say, I need a book about a boy for my son. And it was just so definitive that they knew that their son only wanted a book about a boy, when in fact, it didn't matter. It was the parents who were putting that label there. Instead of worrying about the content of the book, it was about who the lead character of the book was, and specifically what their gender was. And the reality is, kids will read any book you give them. Boys will read any book you give them. You just can't present it in a way that is so gender-based.
Amanda says on Twitter, I'm reading a book to my son's class today for his 7th birthday, and he chose The Spider by Elise Gravel. He also loves El Defo by C.C. Bell Books and Barkis by Tradition McLaughlin. Great topic. Can't wait to hear the discussion. To the phones here to Catherine in St. Paul. So, Catherine, how's this work in your household? To Rolf in Apple Valley, because we lost Catherine there. Hey, Rolf, how's this work in your house?
Oh, well, I'm thinking more about how it worked in my house when I was a little boy. I have two daughters, and they're both voracious readers. But when I was in fourth grade, my fourth grade teacher, Connie Helgeson, knew that I loved to read. And she turned me loose on Wrinkle in Time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like I just never even thought. Meg Murray was a great protagonist, and I just didn't think it was a boy or girl. It was an interesting person.
Did you read the Little House on the Prairie books there, Rolf?
That was the next thing I was going to say. That was the third grade teacher brought that out, and we've read that as a family, and it's just about people. It's not boy or girl. It's interesting characters and good writing.
So I'm curious about, as you started out as a big reader, Rolf, do you still read a lot of fiction? A lot of men don't. Do you read a lot of fiction written by and about women? Aha. The moment of
not
truth.
Not necessarily. Can't keep up with the reading as much now. I don't read as much as I'd like to.
Okay.
But actually, the fiction that I have, I've liked science fiction for a long time, and the last science fiction I was reading was by Kiz Johnson.
Okay. All right. So, Shannon, that's part of the point here. It's not only about what kids are reading at the age of 7, 8, and 9. It's what kind of a curious reader, hopefully, that they will grow up to be, and how is what they're reading going to influence the way they see the world, yes?
Absolutely. And I want to add, too, that it's worse now than it was when Rolf was a kid. So at the beginning of this century, there began to be a lot of reports coming out that boys were underperforming girls in reading. And there was a lot of panic. And everybody said, okay, we got to give boys books that they're going to like so that they will read and that their skills will go up.
Exactly.
And they decided that what their boys were going to like were going to be books about boys. And it became this concerted effort, this major campaign that had really far-reaching effects. And you said sometimes parents don't do it intentionally, and you're right. Sometimes it's just they're trying to be helpful, so they're just picking every book off the shelf that looks like it's written by a man as instinctively. But I have had people dozens of times in front of me tell their sons, you cannot read this book. It is about a girl.
What?
So sometimes
it is
very intentional.
What?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yes, right to my face, right in front of me, pulling it from their hands. I had a wonderful librarian who was, after I gave a talk on this, decided to do an experiment in her 5th and 6th grades at school. She challenged all the boys to read a book, pick out a book from the library and read it, a book that they didn't think was for them, and the girls the same thing. So the girls picked out books about boys, and boys picked out books about girls. And a couple of boys came back to school, and their parents had told them they were not allowed to read the book they picked out.
Oh, that just, wow.
Librarian wrote a letter home explaining the situation, and they returned and said, absolutely, under no circumstances were they allowed to read a book about a girl. So sometimes it is more out there, more egregious, but it is often more subtle. Even just saying to boys, I think you'll like this book, even though it's about a girl. You're giving that
exactly.
You probably should be ashamed to be interested and have compassion and empathy for a girl, but you can maybe get away with it.
I think Angela's got something here on Twitter. She says, the idea that boys won't read material by or about girls is because we as adults still deal with the underlying notion that women's work is less valuable. So we offer boys' stories to girls to empower them, but we subconsciously think girls' stories will weaken boys. Kelly, do you think she's nailed it there? I think. What do you think?
I do too. Yeah, I'm nodding my head here. I was thinking part of the problem is when you think about even the Western canon of literature, it's nearly all men.
Oh, and yes. So, that's why I was asking Rolf about what he's reading today. Right.
Mm-hmm. So you're exposing girls to quote-unquote great literature that's primarily men, whereas boys aren't given the same sort of, like, enforcement in terms of what they read. And so it gets easier to assume then that there aren't stories that feature girls that are for them. And again, that comes from the adults in their life as opposed to things they're born with.
Yeah, Shannon.
Absolutely. And I as I talk about this online, I've heard so many stories from people. I've heard multiple accounts of people saying in their high school language arts class, all of the assigned literature was by men, except for they would read, for example, one Jane Austen. The boys in the class would refuse to read the book written by a woman, and so the teacher would give them an alternate selection that was written by a man. The ways that we protect boys from having to ever engage with works by women and having to empathize with female characters. People go to great lengths to do this as though it's for their better good.
Conversation this hour suggested or recommended to us when our producer Kelly read a piece by Shannon Hale, who is one of our guests, about why boys are not reading more books by and about girls. I think I said a few minutes ago, I think I know a lot about books and how we read. I didn't know this. So this is a really interesting conversation this morning with Shannon and Kelly Jensen. And you, why are, as a parent, as a librarian, maybe as a boy who grew up to be a voracious reader, why are fewer boys reading books about girls and by girls? And tell me, where did we get this idea that boys will only read about boys? Our guests are saying that's adults imposing their ideas onto boys about what they should be reading. So do a little soul searching here. Tell me about whether you recognize yourself in this description. Hey, school librarians, I'd love to hear from you on this too. 800-242-2828, wherever you are in the upper Midwest, 651-227-6000 here in Minnesota and on Twitter at CarrieNPR, where April says, Kate DiCamillo's series with Rami Nightingale, Louisiana's Way Home, and now Beverly right here, to the phones to Danielle in Farmington. Hi, Danielle. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Yes, I have a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old, and my 9-year-old is actually a very empathetic little boy. He still carries around his little baby doll, his stuffed animal or his plushie or whatever you want to call it is attached to is actually a baby doll. So okay. I want to say we really don't, we just pick up a book and read it for him, or he picks up books. We don't look at the gender really. We just want him to read. And it's been very difficult with him because he's just been last year diagnosed with a tracking and eye kind of disorder, or reading is actually painful and difficult for him because the words jump around on the page for him.
But are you saying you are careful to make sure that when he is willing to read that you're giving him titles? I mean, if you had to go look at the bookshelf of the books that your son has read, would you find as many girl writers and girl characters there as you would find boys, do you think?
Right now, we're kind of more in the graphic novel kind of situation, so I'm not even sure who reads, who the author is. I have been reading Judy Blume to him. My husband's been reading J.K. Rowling to him with the Harry Potter series. Mm-hmm. So anything we can get a hold of, yes, that probably is the graphic novel series are probably more. I would have to agree on your speaker that they're probably more emphasized for the boys to try to pique their interest into reading. But at this point, I don't care what he reads as long as he's got something in his hands.
Okay. So, Shannon, I've wondered about this, too. Is it, do more parents and librarians gravitate to books about boys, by boys, because that is also where you'll find more of, as Danielle is talking about, the graphic novels, some of the stuff the older readers might get into?
There are lots and lots of graphic novels by women about girls. So no, I wouldn't say that's the reason. It's very easy to do. I have four kids. My oldest, my son and daughter shared a room for a while when they were going to move into separate rooms. I went to the bookshelf and I started sorting the books into piles for which books were for him and which were going to stay in her room.
Mm-hmm.
And I suddenly looked and I realized I was sorting them by the gender of the protagonist.
Really?
Instead of by age appropriateness or interest or anything else. It's very easy to do if we don't think about it. We have to be conscious about this, and not just about gender, but making sure that our kids or kids that we interact with have a chance to be exposed to all different kinds of viewpoints and experiences, and not just for protagonists that look like them. As many have famously said, books should be windows and they should be mirrors. Every kid should have the right to read books where they see themselves mirrored back. That's an extraordinary, powerful experience. But also they should be reading just as many books that are windows, where they're looking out into lifestyles, into places in the country, into ways of being that are totally different than their experience. And that's really how they get curiosity and how they grow. So being mindful to introduce both to kids, they will still love it. I think there's so much fear. I think a lot of this is rooted in fear. Parents are so scared their boys will stop reading and think the reading is not for them if they introduce books about girls. And it's not true. We do know a lot of factors that are important for making lifelong readers, and some of those include choice, letting boys choose for themselves. So having access to age-appropriate books. So when you're bringing books home from the library, just bring a variety and let them choose without telling them which ones are for them. And they will surprise you with what they read.
You know, Kelly, I was thinking about this and I was applying some different lenses to what we're talking about this morning. I thought, you know, if you wanted your kids to be reading about people that come from different parts of the world, or are a different race, or are a different ability level, you would never say to, you know, no parent, I think, or no school librarian would say, don't read that book about that lead character who's in a wheelchair. Or don't read that book about that lead character who is an African-American little boy. I mean, for some reason, gender seems to be the preserve where this is still okay. I don't get that.
I don't either, but I think it comes from just being so deeply ingrained. And it's especially ingrained when you think about how any sort of situation is handled, particularly in the school. So think about things like boys versus girls in whatever competition in the classroom, or other ways that boys and girls are separated and divided, that just, it feels like a natural division for many adults. Makes it easier, makes it cleaner. But what it does is it reinforces those stereotypes and reinforces those norms. And I think that that's where we get into some trouble, where we start to think that a boy isn't going to want to pick up a graphic novel that features a female character. And for young readers, there are so many of those stories. I think it comes back to needing to remember that the way to get kids excited about reading and to really encourage this appetite for the written word is to just expose them to as much as possible. If they don't like something, they're going to stop reading it. But if you hand them a book, or you tell them something about a book that puts an idea in their head that the book is not for them, that's the idea that sticks with them as they read that book.
Shannon, what did you think?
I would also, I would also add that actually, there are a lot of school librarians and parents and other people, other gatekeepers who do curate based on, for example, race.
So
I have had many
experiences with
that.
You mean they discourage reading about?
So
really?
They do. And they're not thinking about it in that way. They would have a book with an African-American protagonist on the cover, or an Asian protagonist on the cover. And I've heard them said in front of me, we have a, you know, most of our students are white, so they wouldn't be interested in this book. So they just won't buy it and put it in their library because they assume, because the character looks different than the kids in their school, that their kids won't be interested in it. So there is a lot of gatekeepers, a lot of adult gatekeepers are curating and making decisions for kids based on what they think they want, which is they think they only want to read about someone who looks exactly like them. But kids don't care about that. So that's what I mean by how parents and how adults are getting in the way of kids having broader experiences.
Kelly, go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, if I can jump in, I mean, that plays right back into this idea that it's the adult's biases that are coming into play here and not at all
totally
what the kids are thinking or experiencing. They're bringing their baggage to whatever the thing is rather than thinking about it as an opportunity to expose kids to these incredible stories of people who may not look like them.
Deb tweets this morning, great show, as you can see, and she tweeted a couple of really cute photos. As you can see, my first grandchild, grandson, is enjoying his book about girls. Just last night, he received this awesome book about Broadway's leading ladies from his uncle, who lives in New York City, starting early with his love of reading. Yeah, he's not reading. He might be, I don't know, 4 months old or something there. But he's starting early with a book about Broadway's leading ladies. If you've just gotten in on the show, we're having a conversation with two writers, Shannon Hale, the author of many books for kids, including the Princess in Black series, and Kelly Jensen. She's a former librarian and editor at Book Riot, and she's edited the book Here We Are, Feminism for the Real World, and that's a YA anthology. And we're talking about something that Shannon wrote about why more boy readers are not reading books by girls, about girls, and how adults get in the middle of that. Hearing a lot of Shannon's and Kelly's own personal experience with this, watching librarians curate different books for boys and girls, listening to parents say, oh, you don't have to read that. That's about a girl. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, I'm hearing from a lot of you who are like, no, this isn't me at all. No, I don't get this. But if some of this sounds familiar, I'd like to hear a little bit of soul searching here. What you're learning in this show that may apply to how you think about this. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, on Twitter at Carrie NPR to Allison in Edina. Hey, Allison, hi. Thanks so much for waiting.
Hi. Yeah, I am the parent of a 10-year-old boy, voracious reader.
Uh-huh.
But we didn't come by it easily. I had to search out, you know, you do that early literacy, what is going to engage him and keep him reading.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did that, unconscious of my own, this conversation has made me realize I went for Dan Reardon, I went for Epics, Percy Jackson.
Yep.
So he's done all of these series. And even more recently, I've started to kind of float his way things like A Wrinkle in Time or other. They don't stick. I feel like I've maybe created a situation where what he consumes is a main character that he can relate to in gender. And
okay.
So I'm wondering where I can start as a mom of a 10-year-old who's done all the Harry Potter, you know, like that's where we're at for reading level. Are there female author, female protagonist series that are epics, that are adventures, that are the kinds of things my son would cling to? Where can I start, I guess,
okay.
As a parent?
This is a really good question, Allison, and let's get advice from both Kelly and Shannon. So, Kelly, where does she start?
This is a great question, and I think the easiest place to start would be to look at the books that are similar to those epic adventures. So one of the things I've always heard is that adventure is the big word to really hook a lot of young readers, and particularly boys. They want an adventure story. So whatever the book is that you pick up, if you can sell it to your son as an adventure, that might be enough hook in and of itself.
As in, it doesn't have to be, and they go on a world balloon cruise, and you know, that kind of thing, right? If you spin it as adventure, it'll seem adventurous, because books are adventure.
Exactly. And This is a little bit like insider baseball publishing stuff, but Rick Riordan, for example, has his own imprint of books. So these are books that he has selected to have published, and a number of those are exactly what you're looking for. They're by women, they're by people of color, and they are adventure stories. And there are a number of them out and a number of them coming, and a super easy hook would be Rick Riordan loves these books, period. And that would sell it to a reader who loves those books.
Good one. Right. So, Shannon, what do you think?
I am a huge, huge fan of graphic novels. I think graphic novels have changed everything in the last 10 years. And what the research shows, first of all, I just want to assure parents, do not be afraid of graphic novels. They are not something you have to wean your children off of. Graphic novel readers read more prose novels than their peers who do not read graphic novels. Graphic novel readers have higher literacy scores. They have higher vocabulary scores than non-graphic novel readers. Graphic novel readers are not finicky. They do not get stuck in only needing graphic novels. They read widely. One thing we know about graphic novel readers is they will read outside genres they're comfortable with. They're more likely to pick up books they wouldn't pick up in prose. So if you're ever wanting to introduce your kid into something they haven't really been interested in and read before, whether they only read nonfiction, you really want them to read fiction or vice versa, or you want them to try a new genre or whatever, graphic novels are a great place to go. So I would really highly suggest introducing that boy to some great graphic novels that are written by women and that star girls. There are so many. Rapunzel's Revenge is one graphic novel my husband and I wrote that stars a female character that's an adventure story. It's a fantasy adventure. And there are so many that I – if you go to your local library and ask your children's librarian, they will hook you up with a ton of books that way.
Okay. We're going to get a look at the latest news. And when we come back, more strategies – for getting boys to read more widely. We have some specific things that you can do and some great titles, too. And more of your calls and questions. If you're getting a busy signal on the phone lines, call us back. I want to get in as many questions and maybe book titles that you're sharing with us. And maybe some realization here. Hey, I catch myself steering my kids reading this way. Would love to hear that from you, too. But again, if you run into a busy signal, try us again. And you can always reach me on Twitter at CarrieMPR. Back to the discussion, though, now about reading and boys and why boys should read more books by and about girl characters. And I have so many people on the lines. Shannon and Kelly, I'm going to go right back to the phones, if that's good with you.
Great.
To Nathan in Brooklyn Park. Hi, Nathan.
Good morning, Carrie.
Hey, hi. What'd you want to tell us?
Well, I'd like to introduce you to Daniel. He is with me this morning. We had an appointment, and we were listening to your story,
All right.
I thought you might like a middle school boy's perspective.
I would love it. Hi, Daniel. Good to have you on the phone.
Hello.
What are you reading at the moment, Daniel?
Rick Riordan's The Throne of Fire.
Aha. Okay. So does that have a lot of girls in it, or does that have a lot of boys in it?
Kind of both, but mainly boys.
Aha. Uh-huh. So do you prefer to read books about boys?
Honestly, yes. Mostly because they're the ones who are mostly depicted in action stories.
Okay. So, Daniel, hang on a second. I want you to talk to Shannon Hale about this. Did you hear what Daniel said, Shannon?
I did, and I understand that's the perception. I have a middle schooler. I've got a 15-year-old boy, and he reads a ton. He loves fantasy. He loves adventure. And about half of what he reads are about female protagonists. Those books are out there. They exist. But the truth is that a lot of boys don't know about them because what is recommended to them are the ones that are about boys.
So, Daniel, we have been throwing out a lot of titles, and I'm hoping that your dad is jotting down a few. But if not, they'll be on my page on the website. And it would be great if you'd experiment with some books about adventurous girls. You think you'd be game to try that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Daniel, have you ever seen a boy who is reading a book about a girl be teased or be told that that's not for them?
No.
You have not seen that. That's great.
See that.
That's good to hear.
Daniel, I appreciate the call. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Carrie.
Shannon, you do this exercise when you go into schools with young readers, and you describe this in this piece you wrote for the Washington Post, and you say, if a book is about robots, does that mean only robots can read it? How else do you challenge kids on this?
Yes, and they say no, and I say, is a book about cats only for cats? And they say no. I say, is a book about boys? Can only boys read books that are about boys? And they're no. What about girls? Can only girls read books about girls? No. I mean, kids get it. Honestly, they don't care. They just don't even think about it. I would guess that Daniel has never thought about the protagonists of his books before.
Well,
until someone else points it out.
Okay. Except that he did say, and Kelly, I'd love your view on this too. He did say, well, those are the characters that are, you know, doing action stuff, doing adventurous stuff.
I think, historically, that there have been more adventure stories about boys. But I grew up reading adventure stories about girls. I grew up reading Robin McKinley and Anne McCaffrey and Patricia McKillop. And there were lots and lots of fantasy adventures starring girls. But why weren't the boys reading them? So I write fantasy adventure. I've written many novels that are fantasy adventures starring girls. And I would say when I would have book signings, 99% of the people who come to my signings, the readers, would be girls and their moms. Huh. I talk to my guy friends who are writers who write main characters, male main characters or female main characters, and they would say over 60% of their readership is female as well. So it's not only about the female protagonists, it's also about women writers. We often, our society, decide that what women have to say is only of interest to women and girls, but what men have to say is universal. I've encountered this at times when I've gone to do school assemblies where when I arrive at the school, they've only taken the girls out of class to come hear
mind
me
blowing.
Speak.
Whoa.
And, and I inquire, and in fact, they have had male writers come speak, and the male writers would speak to the entire school. We see it in what we read about in history, in social studies, in language arts, everything that we're studying, it's the works of men. We really prioritize the works and the words of men.
Let me hear Kelly on this. Kelly, you were going to say?
I was going to say it's probably about exposure in Daniel's case. He's probably been exposed to more books with adventures that feature male protagonists more than anything. But something I think we should be discussing in this conversation, it hasn't come up yet, is this idea of gender being a construct altogether. And I feel like we haven't touched upon the fact that not all children, not all people, identify as either boy or girl. And that's where this conversation, I think, maybe is also harming those children who aren't seeing themselves in books that are about or for boys or books that are about or for girls.
What's the reading opportunity out there for that? Are there a lot of books where kids are thinking about gender identity and trying to figure that out?
We certainly are getting more and more of them. And they've always been there, but we're seeing more of them now. And I think that presents the opportunity to broaden the conversation about boy books versus girl books into talking about gender more broadly. Kids today, as we've talked about here, are open to this. Like, kids are sponges. They'll take it in. It's us as adults, as gatekeepers, who really put these ideas out there and start building these concepts in young readers who otherwise didn't already have these preconceived notions of what gender is or what sorts of books they should be reading or what sorts of books are for the other types of people in their world.
Yeah, let me grab a call on this from a parent who I think is thinking about this, to Jody in St. Cloud. Hi, Jody. Glad you called.
Hi there. Yeah, I just to tag off of what was already being said, you know, as a parent who's raised a transgender child, I think that there's a lot of fear that if our boys are attracted to female characters, that they may question their gender or their sexuality. And I think to a certain extent that parents really don't want to allow their children to sort of explore that. And I think that has a lot to do with, you know, what causes parents to want to control, you know, the content that they allow their children to be exposed to. I think we're a lot more, we're so much more comfortable with our girls being masculine or feminine, and we're not comfortable with our boys being both.
Jody, I'm curious as to whether reading was important for your child.
It was extremely important. And I raised my kids were young in the 80s, and, you know, I told them there weren't girl things and there weren't boy things, that they were just things. And, you know, one of my children did grow up to be a transgender child. And, you know, I think that the way I parented allowed him to explore that, and in a way that I didn't expect. But, you know, those are the realities of who people are. And I think that we're kind of slow to coming around. I mean, here we are so many years later, and, you know, we're still discussing whether toys are girl toys or boy toys, you know? I mean, I was having this conversation in the 80s, and we still haven't even caught up to that concept. And to some degree, I feel like I did a disservice to my son, because I feel like I didn't hand him the world I told him existed.
I'm really glad you heard the show, Jody, and had a chance to call. A listener says on Twitter, our eighth grade son was just assigned War Cross by Marie Lou for his ELA class group, four boys in the group, a male teacher, a sci-fi story of a girl who backs an AR game in order to survive personal hardships. He is hooked already. Okay, we have a couple minutes left, Shannon and Kelly. I want to throw out some other strategies for getting boys to read more widely. As I was reading about this, audiobooks came up. Family road trips where you can all listen to audiobooks, and where you are thinking as a parent specifically about adventures by girls and about girls. Shannon, what do you think? Yes?
Oh, audiobooks count as reading. I adore audiobooks, or teachers doing read-alouds in class, parents reading aloud at night. Yes, anything where you're sharing as a group. I totally love that Jody called in. I totally agree that I think homophobia is the basis for a lot of this fear of not allowing boys to empathize with girls. But I want to emphasize why this matters at all. It matters because fiction especially is one of the best ways we learn to deeply empathize with people different from us. And girls are being raised in a world where we are asked to empathize strongly with boys, and more with non-binary people. And but boys are being raised in a world where they are not asked to understand and empathize with girls. They're not asked to think about or care about their inner lives and thoughts. And the world is over 50% female and non-binary. And I think that it's really a disservice for the boys. So I know there's fear that for parents and others that the boys won't read. But they will read, and we need to have more faith in them and more trust in them. And we're failing them if we're not allowing them to understand the broader world, who's in it, and allow them to empathize.
Shannon, really good to have you on the show. Thank you much. Kelly, thank you very much. Really good to have you on the show. I'm going to throw out a couple more titles here. The Little House on the Prairie audiobooks, Ramona the Pest, The Girl Who Circumnavigated Fairyland in a Ship of Her Own Making. Here's some family reads together, The Girl Who Owned a City, and Lintang and the Pirate Queen together. Feel free to tweet me on some of these other titles at @CarrieNPR.
You just heard a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. You can learn more about our show by searching for NPR News with Carrie Miller.